Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. We all know that there are times when life just plain hurts. There are times when Job 14:1 becomes all too real. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. That is the lot of all men and women. Life sometimes hurts, and it hurts bad. John 16, verse 33 tells us, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation. We can all relate to that, can't we? This psalm was written by a man who was walking through one of the deepest valleys of his life. The title of this psalm indicates that it was written by David. We don't know when it was written, but nearly all Bible scholars agree that it was written by David towards the end of his exile from Jerusalem when Absalom rebelled against him. Absalom had done his best to take his father's throne and his father's life. And as a result of Absalom's actions, David had been exiled from his home and his family. David had been hunted by soldiers loyal to his own son. Soldiers that had been loyal to him now had become loyal to Absalom. Absalom had done everything in his power to destroy his own father. The only reason David survived Absalom's revolt was, simply put, the grace of God. When this psalm was written, the rebellion is over, Absalom is dead, and David is headed home. He's going back with sorrow in his heart because the son he loved more than life itself is gone. He's going back to reclaim his rightful place on the throne of Israel. He's going home to help restore a nation torn apart by a brutal civil war. David is going home, but he's going home with a heart filled with sorrow. Out of that sorrowful, broken heart comes this sweet, precious psalm. Out of that broken heart of that shattered father pours a song of undiluted praise and worship. Notice the title, to the chief musician, upon Negina, a psalm of David. The word Negina refers to a song played upon a stringed instrument. This psalm was written by David when his heart was broken. The title indicates that David wrote not only the words of this psalm, but that he took his harp in his hand and let the music pour from his heart and his hands. And David's sweet song, we find some help for our own hearts when we are called on to walk through the hard places of life. I want to look at this sweet song, this sweet song of sorrow. I want you to know that while sorrows will be a part of this life, a sweet song can arise out of our pain to the glory of God. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This is a cry of a broken-hearted man. As I said, Absalom is dead. He's fleeing from David's men. When the mule on which he was riding passed under a low-hanging limb, Absalom's hair became entangled in the tree, and the mule rode off, leaving him hanging there, kicking in the air. While Absalom is hanging there, Joab, David's general, found Absalom. Ignoring the clear command of David, Joab killed the young rebel. You can read that story in 2 Samuel 18. Now that Absalom is dead and David's heart is breaking. Absalom's dead, David's heart is breaking. Absalom and David had always had a stormy relationship. They had been estranged earlier, but David had forgiven Absalom's transgression, and their relationship had been restored. That was what David hoped would happen this time. But now Absalom is dead. Joab did not heed David's command. Absalom is dead. There'll be no restoration. There is only the overwhelming sense of loss, of sorrow, and of defeat. And brothers and sisters, all of us have known loss and sorrow and defeat. From that crushed soul, David reaches up to God. He pleads with God to hear his cry. Hear my cry. The word cry speaks of a piercing cry, a ringing cry, a scream, if you will. David reaches up to the only hope that he has. He lifts his voice to the Lord and seeks an audience with the only one who can help him. There are times when life absolutely overwhelms us. When those times come, we may sometimes think the Lord does not care about us and that we must beg him for his attention. I want you to know that the Lord has already promised to hear you when you call him. Jeremiah 33:3. Call me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call me and I will answer. I will answer. He is our Father, brothers and sisters. What father would not hear the cries, the pleas of his children? The very God of heaven, he inclines his ear to hear us. He listens for our voice because he is our Father and we are his children. Child of God, you are to pray with confidence. The Lord hears you when you cry unto him, when your heart is overwhelmed by life. Come to the Lord in confidence, knowing that he knows you. Look at Job 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. The Lord, after he has tested you, you shall come forth as gold. He knows the way that I take. He knows all about you, and he cares about you. What does 1 Peter 5, verse 7 tell us? Casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Our Father cares for us, brothers and sisters. Look at Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ invites us to come to him, that he would give us rest. He has promised to hear us and to help us. Look at Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it'll be opened. And brothers and sisters, I think far too often, many of us who have been in the faith for years, if not decades, some of these verses you know them so well that you overlook the impact of them. Ask, given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, open to you. That's why the psalmist could cry out, hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. Finishing up with Matthew 7:7-11, verse 9. Oh, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him. Brothers and sisters, we're coming to our Father. In Philippians 4:6-7, we find the promise, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. That is exactly what the psalmist is doing. He's crying out to the Lord. He's crying out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Are you at that place right now, my brother, my sister? You're crying out, Lord, help me. You're petitioning the Lord for his help. David says, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. My heart is overwhelmed. You listening today, is your heart overwhelmed? Will cry out to the Lord. Lord, help me. And bang and knock and ask and please. From David's perspective, he is as far away physically from God as he can get. When he had fled from Absalom, he went to a place called Mahanaim, where a wealthy old man named Barzillai took care of David and his men. You find that in 2 Samuel 17. Mahanaim was on the eastern side of the Jordan River. It belonged to the tribe of Gad, one of the 2.5 tribes that remained on the other side of the river when Israel had conquered and settled in the land. David is not at the ends of the earth, but from a Jew's perspective, he was as far away from the tabernacle, the place of worship, as he could be, and still be in Israel. As far as he was concerned, he was as far away, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. But yet, he is as far as away from the tabernacle as a Jew could get. Thinking, praying, that the Lord, his heart's overwhelmed. He feels lonely, separated, cut off from the Lord. He says that his heart is overwhelmed. Heart being overwhelmed. When my From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. That word overwhelmed means faint, weak. The idea here is that sorrows have enveloped his heart and it has sapped all of his strength away. So he cries out to God for the help to make it through the problems that he's facing. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you feel cut off from God? Have you ever been in a place where you felt that you were very far away from him? I know that sin can produce that feeling, but so can sorrow and suffering. You're not living in sin, not living in known sin, but you feel overwhelmed by life and its circumstances and the trials and the tribulations and the thorns and the buffeting that has happened. I know, as I said, that sin can produce that feeling of being overwhelmed, but so can sorrow and suffering. There are times when the problems, the difficulties and trials of life just overwhelm us, overwhelm our heart and drain the energy right out of us. When those times comes, the right place to go is to the Lord. For he is the only one who can help us. He is the only one who can deliver us from what threatens to destroy us. As the psalmist said in another place, in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. God is our refuge and our strength. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is nigh. Remember the words from the old spiritual. He may not come when you want him to, but he's always right on time. Child of God, if you need help, call on the Lord, and he will help you. Not in your time, but in this time. David asked the Lord to hide him. He cries out, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There's a lot happening in that statement. The image of a rock suggests stability in the time of turmoil. From David's perspective, the stormy seas were swirling around him and he was sure that he'd be swept away in their power. So he cries out to God to lift him from the threatening waves of sorrow and to whisk him away to a place of safety where the storms cannot reach him. David is asking the Lord to place him upon a rock that he cannot reach by himself. If the Lord places him upon such a rock, he knows he will be safe. In other words, he needs the Lord to do something for him that he cannot do for himself. He needs the Lord to place him where no one but God can reach him. And thank God, there is a rock. There is a place of safety. There is a place of refuge. There is a place where we can flee in the times of trouble and sorrow and suffering. There is a place where the storms cannot come, the winds cannot blow, and the waves cannot reach us. There is a safe haven. There is a rock. And his name is Jesus Christ. The book of Proverbs says the name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The scripture tells us that we will not be ashamed. Those that come to that rock. Those that take Romans 9:33 seriously, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. The stumbling stone and rock of offense to those that do not believe. But those who do believe, they will never be put to shame. Now, where does this message find you today? Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. To some it is a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and to others it is the rock, it is the refuge, it is the one in whom, if you believe in him, you will never be put to shame. Where does this message find you? Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you come to the rock? Have you come to the strong tower? If you have, brothers and sisters, no matter what this world throws at you, no matter how bad it gets, no matter where you would find yourself today, no matter the pain, the heartache, the destruction, the death, the horror, the terror, no matter where it would find you, Christ is your rock. He is not a stumbling block to you, for he is your salvation, and he is your safety, and you will not ultimately be put to shame. And my friend, if you're listening today, and you have never come to Jesus Christ, that same one that is a refuge for one will, in the end, absolutely crush you, will grind you into eternity. This Jesus Christ will say to you one day, depart from me, for I never knew you. Depart from me. Some of the most it leaves me speechless. Depart from me. That Jesus Christ would say, depart from me. I cast you into the pit, into hell for all eternity. This is what you're facing. Life, you know, when you look at life and you think it's a joke, you just live for yourself, you just want to acquire stuff, you keep looking for satisfaction in people, places, and things, where the reality of life is, what is the meaning of life? Christ, Jesus Christ, salvation of your soul. Life is about Christ. Christ created this world. Christ is coming back. Christ will judge every human being that has ever lived. Come to Christ today, for he's promised, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Come to Christ today for salvation, and you will be able to say as the psalmist, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For he is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe.